Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 7th day of February, 2018, and I am going to be airing once again more interviews that I conducted on site at the recent G3 conference. That is the G3 Conference 2018, which was held the 18th of January through the 20th. It actually was launched on January 17th with a debate that Dr. James R. White conducted with a Muslim apologist, and then the official conference began on Thursday, the 18th of January. This first interview that I am going to be playing for you is going to be with a very, very important individual in the body of Christ who I have grown to love and very much enjoy interviewing, Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries. And without further ado, here is my G3 conference interview with Justin Peters. This is Chris Arnson again on site at the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia. I am so delighted that I finally have the opportunity again, after waiting quite a while, to have Justin Peters do an on-site interview with me. I've interviewed Justin prior to this, but this may be the first face-to-face interview we've had, although I'm starting to wonder when you were speaking at the Center Reach Bible Church on Long Island. Did you come into the studio for an interview with me? Because I did interview
you. Yes, I remember that.
You did come into the studio? Because I did interview you.
I think I did.
So this would be our second face-to-face.
Second face-to-face, that's right.
We've had other phone interviews as well.
Yes.
Well, Justin Peters is the founder of Justin Peters Ministries. Obviously, nobody else would be the founder of Justin Peters Ministries. Tell us about Justin Peters Ministries.
Well, Chris, my first love is expositional preaching and teaching God's Word verse by verse. I have a real interest in and concern for and dedication to hermeneutics, rightly dividing God's word of truth. What I'm most known for is my work on the Word of Faith movement, New Apostolic Reformation, the health and wealth prosperity gospel. That's kind of it's what I'm most known for. I've kind of been typecast in that. People think that's all I'm interested in, and all I do is watch TBN 24/7. I really don't, but that's most of the invitations I get to go and preach and teach domestically, internationally, deal with that. I have a seminar entitled Clouds Without Water that deals with this issue. Benny Hinn, Bill Johnson, Todd White, Creflo Dollar, Jesse Duplantis, Joel Osteen, all the people you see on TV. And I've taken video clips of all these individuals, and I let people see and hear for themselves what they're actually teaching, and then point by point correct it from Scripture. Because there is a tremendous amount of heresy in this movement. It's not just differences on minor points. They have a different God. They have a different Jesus. They have a different gospel. And the signs and wonders part of it is just some of the bad, low-hanging fruit, as I tell people, that comes from a rotten core, rotten theological tree that's rotten at its core. So That's what I'm known for. It's what keeps me busy, but it's not my only interest.
And, of course, I'm assuming you would believe that there are a remnant
of genuinely born-again individuals who are somehow wrapped up in that but have not caved in to the entire theological package of the Word of Faith movement. Like, for instance, you are now a close friend of Kosti Hinn, the nephew of Benny Hinn.
Yes.
And he has become an outspoken opponent of his uncle's theology and practices, which he believes are not only heretical, but involved in charlatan activities, at least a great number of the things that he has claimed and so on.
Yes.
But he still, from what I remember of my own interview with him, he still believes that he was a born-again believer before he actually fully departed from that whole circus, if you will.
Yeah, he was... The way I describe it, what happened to Kosti, what happened to my own testimony, see, when someone gets saved, that's not a goat turning into a sheep.
Right.
Goats don't turn into sheep. Sheep
right.
don't turn into goats. So he
Because the goats don't ever hear Jesus' voice.
That's right. That's right. The goats never, yeah, you do not believe because you're not of my flock. You're not of my sheep. So he was always a sheep, but he was a lost sheep, mm-hmm. and he was unconverted. So he had these pockets of truth, but he couldn't connect the dots. But once those dots connected for him about 5 years, about six years ago now, he totally left that movement,
right.
as you would expect a believer to do.
And another mutual friend of Kosti's and mine, Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Tempe, Arizona, it's actually a different city in Arizona, not Tempe, and it's flown out of my head. But he believes that he was a true Christian while still not only a pastor in that movement but a talk show host, but he also says that he did not buy the whole theological package. He did not buy their teaching that Jesus became a demon on Calvary,
right.
and those kinds of more alarming things.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you can't, what I tell you can't, there are some Christians scattered in this movement, but they either do not understand what their movement actually teaches, or they're very young Christians. They're mm-hmm. very young, very new in the faith. So you can't believe Word of Faith doctrine. You can't understand it and believe it and embrace it and be a believer. You just can't.
Right.
I tell people, the Holy Spirit is not a weakling. Right. If He's strong enough to save us, He's strong enough to deliver us out of deception. But there are some people in this movement that don't really understand what they're teaching. They're young believers. They're not. You can't be a mature Christian and be in this movement.
Right.
By definition, you can't be. If you were a mature Christian, you wouldn't be in the movement. But there are some young believers. But it is safe to say that the vast majority of people in this movement are not Christians.
Yes.
They may be lost sheep that have not yet gone to the shepherd, John chapter 10:27, but there's not many Christians in this movement.
I think you could make this similar comparison to Roman Catholicism. There are Roman Catholics who are not really Roman Catholics because they don't abide by or believe in the dogma in regard to salvation and justification that the Church of Rome teaches.
Right.
And that either is because they don't even know what the Church of Rome teaches, and they have heard the truth elsewhere, or they are, and I've met some people that for some reason think that they are going to be another Martin Luther, and they remain in the Roman Catholic Church thinking they're going to be some kind of a good influence.
Yeah.
But they are still partaking in idolatrous practices, and if they're taking the Mass and so on,
you can't do that. Yeah.
Since we have discussed the Word of Faith movement, and people can go to the archive of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, ironsharpensironradio.com, and all they need to do is type your name into the search engine, Justin Peters, and they will find those interviews. What are the other movements and things that Christians need to be alarmed about that are creeping in or have already crept into not only mainstream evangelicalism, but even perhaps reform circuits perhaps are coming from a different angle than the Word of Faith movement that you're most known for opposing?
Yeah. Well, that's a good question. I think one of the things that we need to be aware of is this softer version of the Word Faith movement. Maybe not the Benny Hinn's and the Kenneth Copeland's, but a softer version of that, like the Joyce Meyers, the Joel Osteen's. Also, I believe that most non-charismatic churches are functionally charismatic. And by that, I mean most evangelicals today think that God speaks to them in a direct, quotable sense outside of Scripture. And I think that was really popularized by Experiencing God with Henry Blackaby.
Mm.
He's the one that really introduced...
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he was the tip of the spear for introducing charismatic theology to non-charismatic churches.
Yeah, I think that this will come home to some of our listeners because they may have heard this or, unfortunately, even said things like this. But to give an example, I know people who are artists or writers, and like, for instance, I've met people who have written songs, and I looked at the song, the words look biblically accurate, and I like the melody. That's a beautiful song. You're really talented. This is from the Lord.
Right, right.
It's a false humility that is actually exalting what they've done as being like direct revelation.
Exactly. Yep,
that God chose that person as a vessel to bring us this song.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you got to be careful, careful about that kind of thing.
Yes, you do. I hear that all the time. I get people that send me stuff all the time. They say that, you know, whether it's a poem or a story or something, God gave me this. God, you know, it's like, well, you got to be very careful what you're saying there, because it's the Sarah Young mentality, Jesus calling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that devotional book, she writes in the first person for Jesus. All of those devotionals are written in the first person for Jesus, and she claims that Jesus speaks to her and she writes down what he says. Well, if that's what she's doing, then she's writing Scripture. So we have to be very careful with things like that. I mean, Jesus Calling is not a good devotional book. It's a something to be avoided and marked. But a lot of people claim this, you know, that whether it's the Sarah Young mentality, it's, well, God gave me this, God gave me this poem, God... Well, no, because if God really gave it to you, if this was really coming from God, then you would be writing Scripture. So you have to be very, very careful. I have no problem with saying that God guides our thinking, informed by Scripture. Of course he does. The Holy Spirit can bring people to our remembrance, or, you know, that kind of terminology. God gave me a burden for you, or, you know, something like that. But when people say, God spoke to me and he said, quote, da 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 da, then you've entered some very, very deep waters. If that is true, theoretically, then whatever God says to you should be just as authoritative as John 3:16 or anything in the Bible. So we've got an open canon of Scripture. And so this softer version, not so much the hard prosperity stuff that you see in other circles, but this softer, charismatic kind of stuff that it has gotten a tremendous foothold into non-charismatic evangelical churches. And so I think it's something the battle today is not so much over the inerrancy of Scripture, although those battles still rage here and there, but at least in theory, as evangelicals, we've won that battle. But the battle where the war is being fought today is
sufficiency.
Right. Is the Bible sufficient? And we're losing that battle, big time losing that battle.
And I think we should point out, for people hearing you for the first time, obviously you have a physical condition that makes you perhaps even more concerned about this issue than the average person might be. Why don't you tell our listeners about that? I hate to constantly bring up something that might give people the wrong impression that that's the only thing that I think of when I think of Justin Peters.
Well, no, it's okay.
But it is something that the Lord has, in his sovereignty and his providence, used in your life to, in some ways, be more powerful in what you have to say about certain things than your average, even pastor, might have to say.
Yeah. Well, I was born with cerebral palsy. I walk with crutches. And when I was a teenager, a neighbor of mine came up to me and he said, Justin, God has spoken to me. He's told me he's going to heal you as long as you have enough faith. And at age 16, I wanted to be healed. I wanted to walk. I wanted to run and jump and play with all the, you know, do all the things that the other little boys and girls are doing. So I really latched on to this. I thought I heard God speak to me. I thought I had all the faith and went to see a couple of faith healers, Nora Lamb, who died in 2003, I believe it was. But anyway, I went to see Nora Lamb. This was back in 1989. I was 16 years old. And fully expecting to be healed, and of course I wasn't healed. That was my first exposure to this movement. I didn't know it was a movement. You know, I didn't know any of that stuff. I didn't know until years later when I was in seminary, I started to study this movement, and I began to realize how heretical it really is. But that was my first exposure to it, and some have made the charge against me. They'll say, well, the reason Justin does these seminars and he teaches against it is because he's bitter that he wasn't healed when he was a teenager. And I hear that a lot. But I think I can honestly say with a crystal clear conscience, nothing could be further from the truth. God in his... It wasn't a good thing that I went to see faith healers. That was not a good thing. But God in his providence used that to set me on the path that I'm on today. So Romans 8:28 kind of thing. And so that was my first exposure to it. And years later, I started to study it more at a more theological level and began to see how heretical the movement really is. So I guess in a sense, yeah, I've been to see faith healers. I've been on both sides of that aisle, by the way. I've been hoping for healing. But since then, after I began to study this movement, then I started going to Benny Hinn Crusades for the purposes of research. And I've been to 17 Benny Hinn Crusades. I've been to Kenneth Copeland meetings, Joyce Meyer. I've been to Joel Osteen's church. And I go for research. I go to study. I go to take notes. I go to observe. I see how they do what they do. I see the emotional manipulation. I see the chicanery. I see the fraud. And I talk to people. And I witness to people. I talk to as many of them as I can to try to, you know, pluck some from the fire, so to speak. So, been in there, been in the trenches.
Have you ever had the opportunity, or have you even sought one, to sit across from somebody perhaps as closely as you're sitting from me, who is one of the leading individuals promoting the word of faith heresy, or perhaps not one of the leaders, but somebody who has been fully convinced that it is true and real, where you're actually interacting them on a close basis and so on? I'm not aware of that part of your ministry.
I have had a couple of opportunities to briefly talk with two of them. But not for a lack of trying that I haven't talked to more. I've made those overtures, tried to talk to them, but they're completely inaccessible. You know, I'd have a better chance of walking up to the President of the United States than I would to walking up to Benny Hinn. You only have access to these people unless you're a big donor. Unless you're one of their big donors, then you've got no access to them. They're not going to talk to you. But I have managed to talk briefly to Joel Osteen at his church. In his church, yes.
On the platform?
No, not on the platform. After the service was over, he'll go out, and if you're a visitor, he'll come out and he'll meet you. Mm-hmm. And he'll shake your hand, and so I got in line to do that. And, you know, he comes across as a nice guy. He does. That's what's so disarming about him. He seems like he's such a nice guy, and he smiles all the time. But he came up to me, and he said, nice to have you here today. And I said, Mr. Osteen, may I say something to you? And he said, yes. And I said, you're not doing anyone any favors by not preaching on sin. I said, you can't preach the gospel if you don't preach about sin. And he'll tell you, I don't preach on sin.
He's
very open about that. And he said, well, that's just not how we do it here. He said, we had, I think he said 30,000 people baptized last year, which seems like an absurdly high number. But anyway, so he rattled off the statistics, how many thousands of people they baptized in just the last year. I said, but if you're not preaching on sin, if they don't understand the wrath of God, they cannot possibly understand the mercy of God. The mercy of God makes no sense until you first understand his wrath. And it's like as soon as he realized I knew what I was talking about, he didn't have anything else to say. He just...
Did the smile vanish?
The smile vanished, and he went to the next person. So that was one. One time I got to briefly do basically the same thing with Jesse Duplantis at one of his conferences. After it was over, he was signing books, and he was about like me to you right now, and I bought one of his books just to get up to his table so he could sign it so I could talk to him. And Jesse Duplantis, whenever he reads, he wears eyeglasses. And so, of course, he teaches us always God's will to be healed. And so I came up and I said, I gave him the book so he could sign. I just bought it for research and so I could have access to him. But anyway, I said, Mr. Duplantis, may I ask you something? And he said, go ahead. I said, I notice you're wearing glasses. And he said, yes. I said, but you teach it's always God's will for a person to be healed. So why is it that you wear eyeglasses? He said, oh, I'm not sick. He said, that's just my body wearing out. And I said, well, no, because the reason we get sick is it's the same reason that, you know, we die. Sickness is a result of the curse of the fall.
And eyesight is a form of sickness.
Exactly. And he said, no, it's just my body wearing out. And it's just like Joel Osteen. Once he kind of realized I knew what I was talking about, he didn't want to have anything else to do with me, and he motioned me on, and so very brief, but not for lack of trying. These people are inaccessible, totally inaccessible.
Well, we're going to continue with Justin Peters' interview when we return from our first station break. We hope you are enjoying Justin's interview as much as I enjoyed conducting it, but don't go away. God willing, we will be right back after these messages from our sponsors with more of Justin Peters' interview that was conducted on site at the G3 conference.
Hi, I'm Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, here to tell you about an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World at no charge for 90 days and get a free copy of R.C. Sproul's book, Relationship Between Church and State. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. Simply visit wmg.org/ironsharpens to get your World trial and Dr. Sproul's book all free. No obligation with no credit card required. Visit World News Group at wng.org/ironsharpens today.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Are you a Christian looking to align your faith and finances? Then you'll want to check out Thrivent Financial. We're not your typical financial services provider. We're a not-for-profit Fortune 500 organization that helps our nearly 2.4 million members be wise with money. We provide guidance that reflects your values so you can protect what matters most. We help members live generously and strengthen the communities where they live, work, and worship. Learn more about the Thrivent story by contacting me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read.
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Ironson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you can call cvbbs.com at their toll-free number, 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231. And also, please make sure you make note that when you order anything from cvbbs.com, make sure you either enter on the internet the coupon code IRON, I-R-O-N, or verbally tell them if you're calling the toll-free number, because you will receive 10% off anything in the store, including those things that are already radically discounted. So make sure you enter or verbally tell them about the coupon code IRON, I-R-O-N, because that will also let them know that you heard about the CVBBS.com on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. It's very important that our advertisers know that you heard about them from us. So we want our advertisers, obviously, to continue to support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And that's obviously going to be a major catalyst and motivation to continue their sponsorship. And by the way, if you order $50 or more, they are still offering the free book by John MacArthur on forgiveness. It's actually a retail value of $20, and you'll actually be getting that absolutely free of charge if you order $50 more worth of merchandise. Well, now we are going to continue with our on-site interview that we conducted with Justin Peters at the recent G3 conference. So I hope you continue to enjoy this interview.
When I was peeking into your breakout session, I was so hoping to be in the audience for it, but there was standing room only, and I noticed that by me standing where I was standing, the doors were open and there were people who were being annoyed by the noise outside, so I had to leave, unfortunately. I didn't have to, but I chose to leave because I didn't want to annoy people. But you were playing a fascinating clip of Creflo Dollar, and I couldn't help but chuckle about the insanity of the logic that he thought that he had.
Yes.
By saying that if animals give birth or produce offspring of their same kind, then of course God produced us. I don't know why he was using that phrase anyway. Produced us. What do you mean produced us? Sounds more of a Mormon concept than a biblical one. But if God produced us, then we are really just as much God as he is, just in the flesh body.
Yep.
Well, God produced the animals.
Right, I know.
He made them.
Exactly.
He created them. Why aren't they
deity
as well?
Yeah.
I mean, really, he thinks that he comes up with these startling novelties that are so brilliant or insightful when they're really laughably absurd.
Yeah. Not only is the theology bad, it's not only is it the bad theology, but it's bad logic.
Yeah.
You know, it's just nonsensical. I mean, sometimes I wonder if these people listen to themselves. It's like Gloria Copeland. I have a clip of her, Gloria Copeland, saying that she can control the weather. But then in the same breath, she says, but we don't fly in bad weather. Well, why not? If you can control it, fly through whatever you want to fly through.
Right.
Just talk to the storm before you get to it and change it and keep on flying, you know. So, I mean, just I tell people, aside from the theology, just a little common sense goes a long way in clearing a lot of this stuff up.
Now, one person that I don't know too much about that I want to ask you about, because somebody very close to me in my family has become very enamored, extremely enamored with Joseph Prince.
Yes.
And it really surprised me when I found out about this family member's attraction to Joseph Prince's preaching and his teaching, because this person has always been, from his history, very skeptical about weird things going on in the name of Christianity, and even his choice of clothing and his physical presence
was like Michael Jackson.
Yeah, or Prince, even
or Prince,
ironically, the name there. Is he as overtly involved in some of the main startling heresies of the Word of Faith movement? Does he even claim to have the ability to heal and things like that? How is he different and how is he the same from this movement?
Yeah, that's a great question. Joseph Prince is one of these guys that flies in under the radar with a lot of people, whereas a lot of people that would pick up on a Benny Hinn or a Kenneth Copeland, not so much on Joseph Prince. But he is just as much Word of Faith as is Benny Hinn and Kenneth Copeland. He is friends with Benny Hinn. He will tell you he's Word of Faith.
He actually says that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. He says that. He said, in fact, quote him, he says, I've been Haganized and capsulized, referring to Kenneth Hagin and Charles Capps. I've been Haganized, capsulized. So, I mean, he's Word of Faith, lock, stock, and barrel, absolutely. He's slick. He's articulate. He's more intelligent than most of them.
And he's more focused on teaching rather than flamboyant manifestations of things. Right?
Yeah, he's not a healer like Benny Hinn. He doesn't have people up on the stage and platform, and he's not knocking them over.
But he doesn't have gold falling from the ceiling.
Right. He doesn't. Not that kind of stuff. But the theology is the same. His basic underlying theological foundation is the same.
Yep. Now, the thing that seemed to be coming from this close relative of mine, who was coming out of an Arminian background, although he would never have used that phrase. In fact, he was very instrumental in me coming to Christ, along with a woman who's a friend of mine. But my brother was a part of the evangelism process that God was using to chip away at my heart when I was a teenager, and then in my early 20s. But the thing that disturbed me or was very saddening to me was that he was seemingly coming closer and closer to see the beauty of Reformed theology and started to devour R.C. Sproul's literature. And he was actually listening regularly or fairly regularly to my own program. And when I used to have a call-in show before it became an email show where listeners sent in emails rather than calling, he would call in a lot, and he would ask very poignant and insightful questions. But with Joseph Prince, he seems to have come to the conclusion that, wow, you know, I was falling in love with grace with you guys, but he really knows grace.
Right, yeah.
He really knows that everything belongs to the praise and thanksgiving to God alone. And, you know, you guys are just like in the minor leagues when it comes to grace. Joseph Prince has really championed grace. Yeah. He's really figured it out. How do you respond to that?
It's not biblical grace that he's teaching. It's cheap grace. It's easy believism. It is antinomian grace, basically. That basically you can
against
live
the law,
against the law. You can live however you want to live. Now, he won't come out and say that in so many words, but he takes grace to an unbiblical end and says that you never have to. Oh, in fact, like, for example, 1 John 1:9, I've heard him teach on that. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He says that that applies to lost people. Well, no, when you read that in context, that was written to believers. And he says a Christian should never have to confess sin. Well, yeah, we do, because that was written to believers. Now, judicially, we don't have to be, it's not like if you sin, you lose your salvation. But the confession and forgiveness spoken of in 1 John 1:9 is not a judicial forgiveness, it's a relational forgiveness. That when we as Christians sin, and we do, you know, hopefully there's a decreasing pattern of that, there should be in our lives, but when we do, we go to the Lord, we confess it, and ask him to forgive us, and that relationship is restored. So it's not, that 1 John 1:9 is not an evangelistic passage, but that's just one example of how he takes that and says a Christian should have no awareness of sin, no consciousness of sin, don't need to confess sin, don't need to worry about sin. Well, that's just not true. What do you do with Romans chapter 7? So it's a cheap grace. It's a cheap grace.
And Matthew 7.
Yes, and Matthew,
those that are startled on the day of judgment.
Yeah, yeah.
That, in fact, they were even performing miracles and doing things. And Jesus never said to them, you were not performing miracles.
That's right.
He didn't say, no, you didn't.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And even those people were cast into hell in that passage.
Yeah,
what you were saying about the not asking forgiveness after you're a Christian, it reminded me of Bob George. Do you remember Bob George? He had a program, a national radio program, and I think it still exists, but I think it's a lot smaller than it used to be because of an arrest that he was involved in. He was arrested, actually, in the raid of a brothel, and he was in there. It was like an FBI sting or something.
Oh, wow.
Like that. But he used to, his program is called People to People, and he used to tell people that it was wrong. He would tell Christians it was wrong to even recite the Lord's Prayer because of the fact that, oh, no, that's in a different dispensation. You know, Jesus was under law, but now, since the cross, all has been forgiven, and the only time that you ever need to confess sin is when that moment you first initially come to Christ. Never say it again. Never ask for forgiveness again. And he seems to, in an extremely heretical sense, wipe out the fact that God as a father still chastises his children, even though he is not going to be pouring his wrath on us as Christians, as a judge, mm-hmm. He, as a father, does expect us to ask him for forgiveness, and
yeah.
He, and even in an earthly sense, has to forgive us and mm-hmm. withhold or remove chastisement from us.
Yeah, right. Hebrews 12, the, you know, God's discipline on us. That's to believers. It's the same way if you're a parent, if you're a father, and your son or your daughter does something that contrary to what you told them to do, or they lie to you or whatever, you catch them, you don't kick them out of the house. You know, you don't say you're no longer my child. But you do discipline them and for their own good. And then once they realize what they've done and they're sorry over it, they ask your forgiveness and the relationship is restored. That's what 1 John 1:9 is talking about. So, but yeah, it's this antinomian stuff. This, you know, you, once you get saved, you can live however you want to live. That's cheap grace, and it's Joseph Prince teaches this stuff, and unfortunately, it's infected most of evangelicalism as a whole.
Yes, and perhaps another person who I've had, especially women, rebuke me for being overly harsh in my criticism against her, who will insist that she is not cut from the same cloth as people like Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland and Benny Hinn. And that would be someone you mentioned, I think, briefly before, Joyce Meyer.
Yeah.
I have been very surprised to be at events where the dominant makeup of the audience would be Reformed Baptists or Calvinists or people from non-charismatic backgrounds, and you see the ladies with toting the Joyce Meyer books under their arms. Tell us something more about her that we should be aware of. In fact, much to my dismay, I want to be careful not to be overly judgmental, but somebody who I have appreciated, who I've interviewed on my program, whose face is on my banner with his commendation for my program, but Ravi Zacharias appeared on her show, and it was startling to me. And of course, Ravi has done a couple of other things with speaking to Mormons, and it seemed to be devoid of any open criticism of the severity of their heresy. But if you could, who is Joyce Meyer, and how is she the same, and how is she different from the Word of Faith movement leaders?
Yeah, she's only different in the sense that she's not quite as flamboyant as some of the others, but she is hook, line, and sinker Word of Faith. She is friends with Benny Hinn. She is friends with Kenneth Copeland. And Kenneth Copeland is one of the absolute darkest individuals that I've ever come across.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's look scary. At his eyes. I mean, just looking at him, you know. I hear that from people all the time, and I agree with them. She heartily endorses him. How do you endorse somebody like Kenneth Copeland? Well, the only way you can is if you are cut from the same cloth, and she is. She is prosperity, health and wealth, guaranteed healing, guaranteed finances, wealth. She teaches positive confession, that you can speak things into existence. You can create your own reality by the words that you speak. She is friends with Joyce. I mean, not Joyce Meyer. Of course she's friends with Joyce Meyer. yeah, it's real good. She knows Joyce Meyer real well. No. She is friends with Joel Osteen. She preaches at his church. You'll see Joyce Meyer teaching at Joel Osteen's church, Lakewood. How do you not see that Kenneth Copeland is a false teacher? How do you not see that Joel Osteen is a false teacher? And you're not only associating with them, you're endorsing them and promoting them. So, yeah, I mean, it's Joyce Meyer's. She's a false teacher, absolutely.
And so the actual meat of what she's saying is really little different. It's just a matter of a much more low-key level of flamboyance.
Yeah.
Or
low-key, and, you know,
and not really focused on supernatural phenomenon.
Yeah, yeah, not so much that. But and a lot of what she says is kind of down-to-earth, common sense kind
proverbial
of advice. Yeah. You know, and it's not that everything she teaches is wrong. But that's what makes false teachers so dangerous, is that not everything that false teachers teach is false.
Right.
I've heard Benny Hinn present the gospel as well as just about any Baptist I've ever heard present the gospel. He's still a false teacher. He meets every biblical criterion as how to discern a false teacher. So it's that truth that's mixed with error that's so very dangerous. You know, Islam is not, there's never going to be a born-again, genuine, Holy Spirit indwelt Christian who will hear an imam preach or whatever and think, wow, you know, that's pretty compelling. I think I'm going to follow Muhammad now. That's not going to happen. Right. John, read John chapter 10. It's not going to happen, period. But a genuine Christian, a young Christian, young in the faith, absolutely can be led astray by someone like Joyce Meyer or Kenneth Copeland or Joseph Prince.
At least temporarily.
At least temporarily, right. Not and indefinitely.
And it could do a lot of damage in their lives.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, how much damage can be done in a very short amount of time? A lot. So we're at this conference, I can't tell you how many people I have talked to, and they have told me their stories, their testimonies about how they were in this movement, and it just devastated them. Just before I came over here to you, I just got through talking with a young man who was absolutely devastated by this movement, and he was led astray by it for a season as a young believer, but...
And who else should we be aware of that perhaps aren't as famous as or infamous as those that you've already brought up? People who might have even more of a subtle approach who are polluting the airwaves in one form or another by TV or radio that you might want to alarm our audience about today?
Yes, Andrew Womack would be another one out in Colorado. Andrew Womack is...
yes, I remember that name because he used to... I think he originated out of New Jersey or something. But I remember I worked for a major Christian network for 15 years, and he was had a regular program on there.
Yeah. Yeah, Andrew Womack is one. Jonathan Kahn is one.
Yes.
He's another one. Perry Stone.
By the way, I am a very close friend. You might be very happy to hear. You will certainly be very happy to hear this. One of Jonathan Kahn's former elders, who is a very close friend of mine, is a Reformed Baptist pastor.
Really?
Now, and a total cessationist. He used to be one of the elders at Jonathan Kahn's Messianic Church.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Joe Lissardo. He's the pastor of Bread of Life Fellowship, North Hill in New Jersey, solidly Reformed and Calvinistic.
Really?
Oh, yeah, dear brother. And he obviously is very opposed to... That's why he left. He became a Reformed believer and could no longer tolerate what was going on around him.
Yeah, interesting. Yep, well, there you go. There you go. But, yeah, Jonathan Kahn would be another one. Perry Stone is another one. Got Marilyn Hickey. Then you've got the Bill Johnsons. You've got the Heidi Baker and the Patricia Keens and those kind of people. Those are all false teachers, more of the New Apostolic Reformation branch of it. Let me think. There's a Dorinda, there's a number of them. Yeah, almost, here's a good rule of thumb. If they're on Christian television, you have every reason to be dubious.
That doesn't mean that everybody on Christian television.
Not everyone. I mean, but the default position, if you see somebody that has their own Christian television show, your default position, I'm going to be very skeptical about this person.
Well, we are going to pick up where we left off with Justin Peters when we return from our midway break. There's one more segment of the Justin Peters interview, and then we have a couple of more interviews yet to be aired, and I look forward to airing each and every one of them. So don't go away, God willing. We're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors with more of the G3 conference interviews conducted on-site in Atlanta, Georgia.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Hi, I'm Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, here to tell you about an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World at no charge for 90 days and get a free copy of R.C. Sproul's book, Relationship Between Church and State. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. Simply visit wmg.org/ironsharpens to get your World trial and Dr. Sproul's book all free. No obligation with no credit card required. Visit World News Group at wmg.org/ironsharpens today.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Chef Exclusive Catering is in South Central Pennsylvania. Chef Exclusive's goal is to provide a dining experience that is sure to please any palate. Chef Damian White of Chef Exclusive is a graduate of the renowned Johnson & Wales University with a degree in culinary arts and applied science. Chef Exclusive Catering's event center is newly designed with elegance and style and is available for small office gatherings, bridal showers, engagement parties, and rehearsal dinners. Critics and guests alike acknowledge Chef Exclusive's commitment to exceeding even the highest expectations. I know of their quality firsthand since Chef Exclusive catered my most recent Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon. For details, call 717-388-3000. That's 717-388-3000. Or visit chefexclusive.com. That's chefexclusive.com.
Thrivent Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times, 631-929-3512, or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And once again, don't forget you can also call them toll-free at cvbbs.com at 800-656-0231. 800-656-0231. Those phone lines are typically manned Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And don't forget, always either verbally tell them about the coupon code IRON, I-R-O-N, or enter it when you are ordering on the internet at cvbbs.com. That's I-R-O-N. That will get you an additional 10% off anything that they have in their inventory, including things that are already heavily discounted. You'll get an additional 10% off by entering or verbally telling them about the coupon code IRON, and that is an exclusive discount only for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners. This also will help them know that our listeners are actually discovering CVBBS.com from the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio program. Or at least they're being motivated to purchase more items from the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio program. And by the way, you may have heard me, and of course you have heard me if you listen to this program regularly, you have heard me promoting and advertising Solid Ground Christian Books, solid-ground-books.com. Well, you can order Solid Ground Christian Books titles from cvbbs.com. You could go to solid-ground-books.com, make a list of everything that you want to order that they publish, and then go to cvbbs.com and order them there, because Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and cvbbs.com is a distributor. Therefore, you could kill two birds with one stone and help both of our sponsors out by, you know, increasing their sales simultaneously. So once again, that's solid-ground-books.com, and make a long list of everything you want to purchase that they publish. Then go to cvbbs.com and order those books. And make sure you always let whoever you are patronizing, who advertises on this program, make sure you always tell them that you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Last but not least, I have an important announcement that I hate doing every day, but it is something that is urgently needed, and that is more donations from you, the listeners, in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience. First of all, I want to thank all of you who have been sending in checks. You are a blessing beyond description. I thank God for you. You are a godsend to me and to this program. Some of you even have been donating multiple times every month. But if you love this program and you don't want it to disappear, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click on support, and mail us a check made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to the address that you will see after clicking support at ironsharpensironradio.com. Please never, ever siphon money out of your regular giving to your local church where you're a member. Never take food off of your family's dinner table or put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please don't forego paying important bills and things like that to give to us. But if you are blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, supporting your church and your home, if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to do that, please consider donating to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio as much as you can and as often as you can so that we will not disappear. That is, if that is your goal. If you would like to help us remain on the air, if you love the show, then please help us as often as you can and as much as you can. If you want to advertise with us, just send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line, and whether it's your church, your parachurch ministry, your business, your professional practice, or your special event, whatever it is you want to advertise, as long as it's compatible with what we believe here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. You don't have to be identical in your theological makeup to what we teach and believe here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, but you just need to be promoting something that's compatible with what we believe. So we look forward to hearing from you, not only with your donations, but also with your emails inquiring about advertising on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And now we're going to go to our final segment of the interview that we conducted on site at the G3 conference with Justin Peters. And I hope that you enjoy it just as much as I did conducting it.
Here's a good rule of thumb. If they're on Christian television, you have every reason to be dubious.
That doesn't mean that everybody on Christian television.
Not everyone. I mean, but the default position, if you see somebody that has their own Christian television show, your default position, I'm going to be very skeptical about this person. There are a few exceptions.
John MacArthur.
He's on NRB, but you won't find John MacArthur on TBN.
Although he did participate in an interview.
One interview, yeah.
On TBN with, why is his name flying out of my head?
Kirk Cameron.
Yes, that's
years
right.
ago.
That's
yeah,
right.
yeah, a long time ago. Yeah, but I've seen that interview, and he preached the truth. You know, they'll never have him back on. People ask me sometimes, "Would you ever go on TBN and preach?" I say, "Absolutely, I would. I would absolutely go, but it would be my first and last time that you would ever see me on TBN because I would call them out as wolves."
There was a very, I thought it was a very humorous interview that you could see on YouTube that Walter Martin had. I believe it was TBN, but it was certainly a charismatic television network. It was the last time he was invited back on.
Right?
He made his host very, very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I bet.
In fact, I think it was the last time the host was on because he was overly accommodating just out of
Yeah.
I guess because he was forced into the situation of trying to be gracious.
Right.
But
Beth Moore.
That yeah, I have heard even more people from what would be thought of as moderate fundamentalist Baptist type. I'm not talking about ultra King James only guys, but you know, like your typical non-charismatic cessationist Baptist type of church being enamored with her.
Yeah. Yeah, Beth Moore is another one. She didn't start off Word of Faith, but as the years have gone on, she is partnering with Word of Faith. Joyce Meyer, she and Joyce Meyer are good friends. She lavishes praise on Joyce Meyer. Lavishes praise on her. She is running in Word of Faith circles, and you listen to what she's teaching, and her theology is becoming more and more Word of Faith. I mean, she is practically Word of Faith now. Some of the stuff I have on her, I mean, I don't watch her a lot, but I've seen enough, and I have enough. I could play video clips of you, or for you, and tweets that she's put out that are just bizarre. I mean, just outlandish.
And she started out more Orthodox?
Yeah. That's the problem with Beth, is she's getting progressively worse. And that's not a good sign. That's not a good sign. She was better, you know, 15 years ago than what she is now. But she's hanging around prosperity preachers, Word of Faith preachers, Joel Osteen, Joyce mm-hmm. Meyer, Christine Kane.
Some of these names I haven't heard of. I don't know who Christine Kane is, for instance.
Yeah, she's out of Hillsong. She's in the States now. Yeah, she's Hillsong in Australia is another prosperity branch church kind of thing.
And I know that they have been
Brian
very
Houston.
Soft on homosexuality.
Yeah. Yep.
One of the things that we who believe the way we do, I think we have to be careful and we have to warn others of our own persuasion to be careful not to write off people like that as unsavable. I think sometimes Christians
right.
who are very solid in their own orthodoxy have perhaps unconsciously become Pharisees, and they view someone. I think that what was really like a splash of cold water in my own face about that is when I became friends with John Sampson, who I mentioned before, who's a friend of Kosti Hinn as well, who used to be a pastor in that movement, and he is totally repudiated it all and views it as deadly and damning and has been a very strong voice for Reformed theology and so on. So we have to remember, those of us who are Calvinists, that the elect come out of all kinds of backgrounds.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Not only the most pious of pastors, but the most perverse of prostitutes. The elect are among those people, and they are called out of it, obviously. They don't remain there.
Right.
But even amongst people like the Word of Faith heretics that really make us nauseous and get us furious, because especially that they are doing these things in the name of Christ, it makes us so angry. It could blind us to have any compassion.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And you're exactly right, Chris. I mean, who would have thought, if you had told me just a few years ago that Benny Hinn's nephew would get saved and become a Calvinistic, you know, Doctrines of Grace cessationist.
Right.
I think, what are you smoking? You know. but I mean, God does save His sheep out of this, and you never know when the light's going to come on with someone. Now, some of the hardcore people, teachers that have been teaching this for decades, you know, the Bible speaks of some of those who have been reserved for this condemnation. You know. I would love nothing more than to see Benny Hinn or Kenneth Copeland or one of the Bill Johnson. Love nothing more than to see them repent. But I am not aware of a big name Word of Faith prosperity person that has been saved out of this and come out genuinely repented and denounced it. Now, no name people, yeah, lots of them, lots of them. I'm not aware of any of the big names that's ever happened to.
Now, there seems to have been a different approach. Perhaps it's like a public relations strategy, but a different approach of some of these Word of Faith people who are no longer pacing back and forth on a stage, shouting and declaring all kinds of bizarre supernatural manifestations. They're sitting down like you and I with a cup of coffee, looking like they're doing the Today Show, their own version of that.
Yeah.
And it's like a much more palatable approach to the average Christian, even, who would instinctively be perhaps repulsed by a more over-the-top charismatic. Then they see Kenneth Copeland sitting there with a sweater on and a cup of coffee with his wife, just having a friendly chat with somebody who's giving their tips from a book that they wrote on health and nutrition. There seems to be this trend that has been going on. One of the names that does that is somebody whose name escapes me right now. Robeson.
James Robeson.
Yeah, he has that kind of approach now.
Yeah, James Robeson, Robert Morris, pastor of Gateway Church. Yeah, he's the same way. He's a Word of Faith. He goes to Robert Morris's church, Gateway Church, in Southlake, Texas, Dallas-Fort Worth area. Robert Morris is another one of these guys. He comes across as a nice guy, even-keeled, but he teaches Word of Faith theology. In fact, Todd White, who is the dreadlock-wearing guy that goes around healing people at random on the street, supposedly. Todd Wright is one of the worst of the worst. He is a member of Robert Morris's church. So what does that say about that church?
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, I'd like you to summarize right now what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today. And then, of course, I want to make sure that our listeners know all of your contact information if they want to invite you to speak at their church or some parachurch ministry event, or they want to support your ministry financially. But before you do that, to give us what you most want us to remember before this program is over.
Thank you, Chris. Sure. I appreciate this opportunity. What I want to leave people with is study your Bibles. It sounds like such a Sunday school answer and such a cop-out, and it's not, because the vast majority of professing Christians are biblically illiterate. They really don't know what's in their Bibles. If they did, if they knew what was in the Word of God, if they knew how to rightly study God's Word, then they wouldn't be falling prey to all of these false teachers. So be a good Berean. Acts 17:11. Search the Scriptures to see if these things are so. Get a good study Bible, ESV study Bible or John MacArthur study Bible. Learn how to read and interpret Scripture so you can understand it rightly. If your hermeneutics, the way you interpret the Bible, if your hermeneutics are wrong, then the conclusions to which you come will also be wrong, and that means you understand God wrongly. So, but if we understand rightly how to study Scripture and we do it, don't pick up chicken soup for the soul, and think you're getting nourished. You're not. Study the Word of God. Open up God's Word, read it, study it, and I promise you, if you do that, you will grow in discernment, and you'll know God. The deeper our knowledge of God, the deeper our love for God.
Amen. And so how can our listeners get a hold of Justin Peters Ministries?
Sure, Chris. I do have a website, justinpeters.org, justinpeters.org, and all my contact information is there. Email, telephone number. Email me. I'll be glad to get back with you. It might take me a couple days. I don't have a staff. It's just me, my wife. But they can contact me through my website, justinpeters.org, and do anything I can to help.
And I know that since you're here at the G3 conference, you must be available to speak at various places.
Yes. Yeah, that's kind of what I do. I travel domestically, internationally, preaching and teaching.
Amen. Well, I thank you so much for taking your time in this hectic atmosphere here at the G3 conference to come and speak with us today during this remote interview. I look forward to you coming back on Iron Sharpens Iron very often in the future.
I'd love to, Chris. Enjoyed it very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for what you do.
Thank you. God bless.
What a blessing to the body of Christ Justin Peters truly is. I look forward to having him back on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio often in the future, as often as God will enable. And we are going to be returning after a very brief break with Andrew Rappaport's on-site interview at the G3 conference. Andrew Rappaport was actually an enormous help to Justin Peters during his time there at the G3 conference. And it was a blessing to once again interview my friend Andrew. And I hope that you are blessed by his interview, which will be coming up very shortly. So don't go away. God willing, we'll be right back after these brief messages from our sponsors with Andrew Rappaport of Striving for Eternity Ministries.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And now, here is our on-site interview at the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, with Andrew Rappaport of Striving for Eternity Ministries. Chris Arnzen here again at the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, and I have with me someone that I've known for quite a while. If you've listened to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio for any considerable length of time, you may recognize the name Andrew Rappaport, who has been a guest on the program. Typically, he's been interviewed by phone, but we have another opportunity to have him interviewed face-to-face. He is the founder of Striving for Eternity Ministries. He's also a Jewish believer, and it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Andrew Rappaport.
Well, Chris, thank you very much again. It's always good to see you face-to-face as well.
Amen. Praise God. And why don't you let our listeners know, who have not heard you before on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and may be unfamiliar with you, but why don't you let our listeners know about Striving for Eternity Ministries?
Sure. Striving for Eternity is really a teaching ministry. And so we have different things. We have courses online on systematic theology, hermeneutics, which is the science of interpretation, interpreting the Bible, Introduction to Discipleship, World Religions. I have a book, What Do They Believe?, which is on systematic theology of the Western religions, the majority of them, you know, Islam, Judaism, Catholicism, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses. Just came out with a new book this week, What Do We Believe?, which is a systematic theology for Christians, keeping with the same way that I did the other one, keeping it where it's concise and something that, for new believers, they can easily read it. New people that are new to theology, but it's also something for believers. I try to put lots of references in there so that it's a quick reference guide as well.
Tell us about the major emphasis of What Do We Believe? Or is it What We Believe? Or
It's What Do We Believe.
What do we
so
believe?
What do they believe, and then what do we believe? And so basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at, you know, the Christian authority. The second chapter is one of probably the most important ones because I deal with biblical reliability. So what I'm trying to do is take a topic that is usually reserved for seminaries, textual criticism, and break that down to a lay level, because most people, the biggest thing that most people have to deal with, especially like when they're evangelizing, is the question, well, the Bible was written by men. Well, the Bible's been edited. And a lot of Christians have no idea how to handle that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, their pastor got that in seminary, but they don't continue studying that. They don't teach that. So what I want to do is break that down to a lay level so that anybody can understand the issues and understand how to defend that the Bible is very reliable. In fact, I actually do some calculations to say that if you look at it, the Bible is about 99.8% reliable. I'll put those numbers up to CNN any day of the week.
Now, why wouldn't you say 100%?
Well, because we do have textual variances, so we do have some where we can't get back to the original meaning, mm-hmm. and we can't get back to the original wording. So the meaning would have changed. Even, I mean, there's the one that Bart Ehrman would refer to in his book. You know, if you're going to write a New York Times bestseller, you've got to put your best argument forward. And so his best argument that we can't get back to the original Bible is that Jesus, in some manuscripts, was called the son of a carpenter, and in others, he was a carpenter. I know that. That just blew your listeners' minds because there's so many doctrines based on that, right?
In fact, I heard, and I don't know if it's accurate or not, I heard in a documentary recently from a Christian archaeologist that the term, the Greek term, actually is a stonemason, but I don't know if that's accurate or not.
Yeah, I have not heard that.
Okay.
Have not heard that. But, you know, Chris, one of the things I always love about being on with your show is you have a unique ability when you interview people to just, there's the gems you pull out of people that always amazes me how you because the way you go through a conversation. I mean, so I'm kind of curious how you do this because you manage to pull out things from people in your interviews.
Well, I used to pull gems out of people as a pickpocket before I was a Christian.
Oh, we have that in common.
I'm only kidding. But and the question was, I'm sorry, what was that?
No, but how is it that when you interview people, mm-hmm. right, you seem to be able to deal with differences of theological positions that people have and be able to pull out of them clarity in your questions to get people to really get to the heart of issues that need to be discussed?
Well, all I can tell you is that I have a philosophy of interviewing that is nearly diametrically opposed or 180 degrees opposite from many hosts who want to hog the microphone themselves. Bill O'Reilly would be an example. And, of course, some people would say to me, how could you criticize somebody that until the recent unfortunate scandal, I mean, he was one of the most popular talk show hosts in the media anywhere. But I think it's a different realm when you're interviewing somebody about theology and about matters that involve one's eternal destiny. If I have someone that I would consider to be an expert or a specialist or somebody well-versed who has some kind of an authority on a certain subject or a variety of subjects, I am not going to waste my listeners' time by constantly butting in and giving my two cents. Perhaps I even do that now too often. But if I have guests on for a reason, so that they can share their knowledge and wisdom and experience with my listeners, not so I can constantly stop them in the middle of a sentence. So.
But yet when you do, I mean, you have a wealth of knowledge and wealth of experience, and I've always noticed you do bring yourself into conversations, and you do it in a way that always brings out of the person you're interviewing different aspects of either their background or something about what they're teaching. It's just an amazing ability that you have. I've just noticed
it may be just the length of time I've been doing this.
Well,
since 2005. Perhaps I'd have to listen to myself back then to see if I was horrible, but perhaps after a while I've just been able to get more more of a grasp on the art of interviewing because it's really, in my opinion, it should be letting the guest speak about what they know and to try to draw that out of them as much as possible without stopping them in their tracks too often.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing that's neat is the way when I listen to you interview and you'll just guide a conversation. I know from talking with you on previous interviews we had, where there were certain things you'd want to discuss And it's like we'd go one way, and you just very casually bring back to son. If we didn't finish up a topic, it's like, let's just bring that. And you do it so gracefully and so smoothly. I don't know if your listeners realize you do that so well, you know?
Oh, I appreciate that very much. And in fact,
and if you started in 2005, so you started podcasting when you were ten, right?
Well, I appreciate that because somebody that I interviewed during my stay here at the conference was—I don't think it was an on-air discussion. Perhaps it was off-air. Oh, it's actually a mutual friend of ours. I might as well say his name because it's not derogatory against him. It's kind of amusing. But our mutual friend Frank Mullis.
Oh, you poor thing.
was telling me about some unfortunate circumstances that you actually made me aware of, that he had to withdraw from fellowship with somebody who had been rebuking me publicly or slandering me and mocking me without warrant. And he said, he wasn't making a joke. He was dead serious. He said, don't you know that Chris is your elder brother? I mean, he's a man of many years above you, and he's our senior brother in Christ. I'm thinking to myself, how old does he think I am?
Well, Frank just thinks he's very young. Yeah, actually, he was saying, you know, if you're gonna call out someone like Chris Arnold, like, that's it. Like, how do you do that? I mean, here's a guy that doesn't pick fights with anyone, at least that's a believer. Brad picked lots of fights over your years with unbelievers in different debates that you've been able to moderate and stuff. But
obviously, I never wanted them to be fights.
But, yeah,
but.
But unbelievers don't always want to get along with believers, do they?
Right. And unfortunately, believers fall into that trap far too often of fighting and yelling and, you know, making fools out of themselves. In fact, that's usually the first sign that a so-called apologist or debater knows he's lost, is when he starts to raise his voice and use mockery and ad hominem to try to draw attention away from the actual content of this, you know, of the theme, of the thesis, yeah. and to kind of cast doubt in the audience's mind that his opponent knows what he's talking about just by mocking him.
So. Yeah. I saw a debate where there was going to be two things discussed. So they have the opening, they have cross-examination, the close, and they were going to start the next one, next topic. And it was very interesting because without even listening to the arguments made, I said I concluded who lost. And I concluded it because the guy who I said lost spent the entire opening of the next topic still arguing the previous topic. In other words, he wasn't convinced that he actually answered the question well enough and wasted his whole opening still trying to argue the previous point. And I went, yeah, he realized he lost that first part, and now that he never made his opening, he just lost the second. You know, but an interesting thing that I didn't know till recent was if you debate a Muslim, you will see that reaction. And within Islam, it's a very interesting thing when you debate Muslims is they believe that if you don't have that yelling, the raising of the voice, you don't really believe what you're saying.
Hmm.
At least in the Middle Eastern Muslims, they believe that if you have to be emotional, you have to be yelling, and they could say nonsense stuff, but that emotionalism ends up convincing the audience that that person's right.
And, of course, many of our fundamentalist brethren in Christ have that same philosophy. And that's another thing that's interesting, what I wanted to ask you about earlier when you mentioned the fact that the Bible, at least our English translation of it, is 98% reliable. And you also describe yourself, at least in the past you have, as a fundamentalist. Those two things definitely don't mix together.
Well, I'd be, let's use bad words. I'm a fundamentalist, Baptist, dispensationalist. Don't know.
But a believer in the doctrines of sovereign grace.
That's true. So I really don't fit into any group well. I don't. I've never fit in perfectly to any theological group because I'm a man of the word. I study the scriptures, and I'm going to go where I think the scriptures teach, which fit with some theologies in different areas, but I just don't. So people, you know, are you this? Are you that? Well, if you really want to know what I hold to, I'm a Rapportian. And so that's what I believe, you know. And the people, wait, what's that? Well, now I can define it.
And for those of you listening that went over your head, remember his name is Andrew Rapoport.
Yes.
And another thing that's interesting about you is that although you are a Jewish believer, you appear, from what I know of you, to be a Christian Jew rather than a Jewish Christian.
Amen.
In other words, the emphasis is on the Christian.
Yeah.
You're a Christian who happens to be from an ethnically Jewish background.
Exactly. Yeah, I got saved the same way every Roman Catholic that gets saved, every Muslim that gets saved. There's nothing special. I will have a privilege, hopefully, there was a rabbi 19 years ago who tried to convert me back to Judaism, and he gave me cassettes. I don't know if any of your millennial audience understands what that is, but that was this little device that you would put into a player, and it would kind of act like a CD does. If for people that even don't remember CDs, it's like a USB drive. It plays audio.
I was shocked that a girl that worked in a store that sold music, or at least in some kind of a department store, when I asked her where the CDs were, she didn't know what I was talking about.
Yeah, it's,
I was, well, like, CDs are now?
Yeah, CDs are going out. Yeah. Well, the cassette, you remember the cassette, you'd stick a pencil in to wind it up and get
when it got loose. Yeah.
But I listened to about 8 hours of his name is Rabbi Tovia Singer.
Oh, yeah.
And so you know of him. So
yes. I don't know him, but I know
you know
who he
of
is.
Him. Yeah. Yeah. And so I will be debating him, hopefully in New York.
Really?
And so I had said on a podcast that I would love to debate him because he really doesn't know Christianity. Now, to the other Jewish people in his audience that don't know anything about Christianity, he seems like an expert. But he, you know, the cassettes I had at least got, he was mixing up Mormonism and Catholicism, but not describing Christianity.
You mean when he was attempting to describe Christianity, meaning you and I?
Yeah.
He was using the descriptions that would be more appropriate for either
Mormonism and
Roman
Catholicism.
Catholic.
Yeah. So I realized he really doesn't understand it. So we're probably going to be debating the topic of is Jesus the Messiah, which is like, okay, yeah, let's share the gospel. But you know, that came about because some professing atheists were commenting on a YouTube video that someone had and used Rabbi Singer's videos to say, look, even the rabbis say that Jesus isn't the Messiah. But you know what was interesting about the videos? He never dealt with any of the prophecies in the Old Testament that we would look at and use for the New Testament. Every one of the ones he wanted to look at were the second coming. Now, the interesting one that he did deal with is in Isaiah, where it says that when the Messiah comes, the knowledge of God will spread like water to the sea. And he says that hasn't happened. Really? It hasn't happened? I mean, it didn't happen within Judaism, but within Christianity, the Word of God, the knowledge of God, has spread to every culture. If you go to the Museum of the Bible in D.C., they actually have this one room that's just wild to look at. It's just a room full of what's supposed to be volumes of books, all different colors. And what those represented, all the languages that the Bible has been translated into. The reason for the different colors, they have a color for where the Bible's been translated into both Old and New Testament in that language. They have ones where it's just New Testament. And then they have colors where the Bible is the first written book, first where they've introduced the written language into a culture.
Hmm.
Because they wanted people to be able to read the Bible. So they created a written language for that culture and translated the Bible into that language. And it's the first book or document that they would have in a written form.
Hmm. I don't know where Rabbi Singer falls into this category, but I have heard, and I don't know if these Orthodox Jewish apologists or rabbis were being completely honest, if they were just being politically correct, or what their reason was for this approach. But I have heard Orthodox Jews in public say that they believe or have no problem with Jesus being a Messiah for the Gentiles. They would never, of course, say that he's deity or that they would never claim any kind of allowance for the Trinity or anything like that. But they, obviously they are trying to have a different approach to Jesus than some of the Talmudic rabbis who said very harsh and horrible and horrific things about Jesus.
Well, I would find that a hard position to hold to, because there's no passages that I could even think of that would say that there's two messiahs, a messiah to Gentiles and a messiah to the Jews. So there's the Messiah, that's it. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, there's certain things we see of who that Messiah would be. So I'm not quite sure how someone would be able to say that there's a Messiah to Gentiles. Now, unless they're saying it's a Messiah for Gentile people to come to a form of God, but they can't use the Bible for that, because the Jewish Messiah described in the Old Testament is not going to be one to Gentiles separate from the one to the Jews.
Right. And they wouldn't view the New Testament as being a God-breathed document anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Would not be part of their canon. Now, I'm not sure if this is an area of your study, but I have had some interaction with Roman Catholics lately who were one in particular who is saying, as the old saying goes by Roman Catholics, that Luther removed the Apocrypha or the deuterocanonical books from the canon. And even as Jerome, who compiled the Latin Vulgate, knew, the Jews have never embraced, in recorded history, the Apocrypha or deuterocanonical books as a part of their Hebrew canon. And he said that that was not true. Do you have
so
any?
The earliest that we know of record of a list of books of the Old Testament was when the rabbis met in 70 AD in Jamnia. And the Council of Jamnia has really where the rabbis said what is part of the canon. And those books are not included. So this is before, long before the Catholic Church added them in the 1500s. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Catholic Church did not include them until Luther. So my question
is... Yeah, and
the
Council of Trent.
Yeah.
They didn't officially...
Officially.
Dogmatically.
So the question is, if they say that they're the ones that gave us the Bible in the 300s,
right.
Well, why did they leave them out? Why did it was like, oh yeah, we forgot those for 1,200 years. Oops. So I don't even need to go... I mean, the Jewish rabbis don't hold to those books, but neither did the Catholic Church.
Right.
So was the Catholic Church wrong when they didn't include them, or are they right now? Which is it? Because it can't both be right.
Well, why don't you, before you go, give us a summary of your experience this year at G3, anything that you care to say about it?
Well, I came this year to G3 for a very different reason. I didn't come here to support Striving for Eternity. I wasn't here to enjoy the conference, because I actually only made it to a couple of sessions. I came down because I have a friend, Justin Peters.
Oh, yeah.
And for folks who don't know Justin Peters Ministries, go to justinpetersministries.org. He does a great job dealing with the Word of Faith movement. But for folks who don't know who he is, he has cerebral palsy.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he travels, it is difficult for him to get around. He can't tie his own shoes. You know, it's just so he needs help. And I know he hates when I say this, but you know Justin.
Mm-hmm.
Justin is the humblest man,
yes,
I have ever met. He'll never, he always thinks everyone's, if you do something for him, it's like, oh, I don't want to burden you. It is a pleasure to be able to help him out. And so I came down here just for the fact of, I knew he was speaking, and so I flew down just to be able to take care of him, help him get dressed in the morning. Help him we brought Striving for Eternity people came just to, you know, we ran his table for him. And so that's why we came down. So it was a little bit different experience for me this year, because I really wasn't, I didn't let anyone on social media know I was coming down until I got down here, because people wanted to get together with me once they saw us here. And I'm like, I'm here for one reason. If If it happens to work in Justin's schedule, hey, that's great. We'll get together. If not, I'm sorry. I don't want to be rude. I'm not, you know, but I'm here for Justin. So like people, Justin would be talking to someone or getting a photo and someone would come talk to me. And as soon as he needed to go, I said, I don't want to be rude, but, you know, I got to go. And so that's why I came down.
Yeah.
So it was a little different for me this year.
I was very honored to interview Justin again here on site at G3. And I have interviewed him by phone as well, but what a precious brother in Christ.
Yeah.
And perhaps now you could just leave a summary for our listeners of a several minute length of what you most want etched in their hearts and minds today.
Well, if you're going to say the one thing, I'll tell you what I'm starting to get known for, other than Bible hermeneutics and interpreting. You know, it's not a bad thing if you're known for interpreting the Bible rightly, right? You know, one of the things that's been a real burden on my heart is for years I've been trying to display that as Christians, we could disagree even on theological matters and do it with love and charity. I have a friend of mine, Matt Slick, don't agree with him on a whole lot of doctrines. But you know what? We've been going to conferences, apologetics conferences and things, and people are asking us to come so we could disagree. Because one of the things a lot of people are realizing is Matt and I, though we disagree and we both think each other is a brother in Christ, we realize that there's a lot of people who don't know how to argue about theology, especially. But people start getting, as you said, when they start losing or not being able to answer something, it gets the name-calling, the ad hominems, and all this stuff. And the reality is, I think we as Christians need to learn how to disagree with one another with love and charity. We're going to spend eternity together. We might as well get used to it now. I mean, I understand that everyone will be a, you know, dispensational, you know, person in heaven, but, you know, no, but, you know, it's like we could joke like that. We shouldn't hold to our theology and our positions on secondary things so tightly that we're going to disassociate with people or start calling people out on something that the question that we have to ask is, how did they come to that conclusion?
I think that two men that wonderfully and beautifully demonstrated what you're talking about are John MacArthur and our late R.C. Sproul. Right.
Their baptism debate was really one that etched into my mind that this could be done. And that's really what Matt and I almost try to model with it, because, and we kind of have talked about some of those things, dispensationalism, covenant theology, baptism, he's a continuationist, I'm not, you know, so we have these differences, and they're big differences. But, you know, all those differences, when we sit at the feet of Christ, they're all going to be straightened out. All of us. I think every one of us has problems in our theology. We just don't know where they are. I mean, if we're going to be honest, we would change it if we did. But we have those things, and Christ is going to set us all straight. And so I don't want to hold on to my theology so tightly that I'm going to disassociate with someone over our differences. You know, and I think the world is watching Christians on social media, and I talk to tons of atheists, and they all are watching Christians fight it out. It's an amazing thing. I went to Matt actually debated two atheists on two separate nights. Insane. Two different topics, two different guys. Why you do that? Because you got to prepare for two. They each prepare for one. But you know what? I got to talk to some of the same atheists two nights in a row. There was an issue that was going on within the atheist community, and I talked to several atheists asking, hey, would you say this guy's wrong? Some would say he's wrong, others wouldn't. Those that said he's wrong, I said, would you call him out publicly? No. Why? They wouldn't give reasons. They give the bogus reasons. One guy was really honest with me. He says, Andrew, I'll tell you why. He said, whether I agree with that guy or not, he is doing damage to Christianity, and you are the enemy, and he is destroying you. I like you as a person, but I want Christianity to end. He said, I will never publicly say anything about him because he is helping to destroy Christianity. And I realized, I walked away from that and said, you know what? Here's an atheist that understands what Christians should know. That we should be having a unified front against the world and keeping our in-house discussions in-house, mm-hmm. not displaying them and really presenting them for the world to see, because we not only put it on social media, but you have whole ministries that just focus on attacking other people.
Right. One thing before we go that occurred to me, if you could comment on this. Something that has been puzzling to me is that the majority of those that I have encountered in the Messianic Jewish movement are, and there are some exceptions, so I don't want to broad brush, but for the most part, they are vehemently anti-Calvinistic. And the thing that puzzles me about that is the whole concept of the people of Israel in the Old Covenant being chosen out from the multitudes and elect people is not foreign to the Jewish mind.
Yeah.
And why would someone who has become a Christian seem to completely throw that out, that mindset of God choosing whom he will choose?
Yeah.
The Jews are supposed to know anyway that God did not choose them because they were better than everybody else. That there was something innately more lovable about them. And so unconditional election should be something that is completely logical and consistent with them. But most that I have encountered are non-Calvinist and even anti-Calvinist.
Well, I think it comes to something that we've talked about on a previous episode, and that is the fact that a majority of those who call themselves Messianic Jews are also rabid charismatics.
Right. Not all.
And not all. But you know what I find is that most of them are. Most of those that stay within the Messianic Jewish movement. Now, you do have lots of people who are Jewish of background and ethnicity, but we don't identify ourselves that way. You know, I don't think of myself as Jewish. I mean, I am, but I'm Christian. I'm a Christian first who just happens to come from a Jewish background. And so the point being is I think you see the differences with people like that, where people that get into the Messianic Jewish movement get into all the feeling-based things. So everything is based on not theology, but feeling. And so you're going to have them leaning more toward the, well, what I experienced choosing Christ. And they don't want to think about the theological, Christ chose me.
Right. Well, I want to make sure that our listeners know how they can get in touch with you and Striving for Eternity Ministries.
Well, first off, I'll say that I was glad that I had a goal of being on here and trying to get to interview you a little bit, to bring some of you out, because
I did notice that.
It is something that you do amazing, and I don't know that your listeners even always pick up on it, but you do a great job with interviews, one of the best.
I appreciate that very much.
And if people can get a hold of Striving for Eternity at strivingforeternity.org.
Strivingforeternity.org. Thank you so much, Andrew Rappaport. I look forward to not only fellowshipping with you again, but interviewing you again in the future.
Well, thanks for having me.
God bless.
And now we're going to conclude today's Iron Sharpens Iron radio broadcast with an interview with one of our faithful listeners, originally from the UK, now living in Oregon, Kofi. And Kofi is the son of a Word of Faith Pentecostal pastor who was rescued out of that heretical movement by the sovereign grace of God, and now he is a Reformed Christian. And I hope you enjoy our interview with Kofi.
Chris Arnson here again in Atlanta, Georgia at the G3 conference, and I'm so excited that one of my most faithful listeners is once again here, and I'm delighted to interview him again. Many of you may recognize his unusual name when he emails questions for our guests on Iron Sharpens Iron. His name is Kofi Adu-Bwahen. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Great job.
And as you will detect from his accent, he is originally from the UK, but now is residing in Medford, Oregon. And am I correct in saying that you recently got married?
April 22nd.
Praise God. And was it a yank?
Yep.
And that's why you moved here, right?
Yep, that's why I'm here.
And Kofi, tell our listeners how you first became familiar with Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I can still remember vividly my first G3 conference, which was last January, and I heard somebody yelling with a British accent, "Iron Sharpens Iron! Iron Sharpens Iron!" And I saw you from a distance. I had never met you before, and you had not yet at that time emailed any questions to our guests, so I was totally unfamiliar with you. But tell our listeners how you discovered us.
Yeah, so I've been listening to Up and Shine Zion for years now, back when you were in New York.
That's right.
And I discovered you, I think it was through a show that you had done with Dr. White. I think he mentioned that he was going to be on this show called Iron Sharpens Iron, and I was like, what is that?
I'm sure he distorted his face just as you did when he said iron sharpens iron. But anyway, James loves to degrade me any opportunity that he has in a lovingly, humorous, brotherly way.
Well, if you're, for anyone who's here at the conference, you heard the hatchet job he did to me the other day, so I think he does that to everyone.
And some of you who heard Kofi's interview last January may be surprised to learn that even though he is a Reformed Baptist today, Kofi actually was raised in a Word of Faith Pentecostal home. And I am so delighted to hear that the relationship between you and your dad, who is a pastor in the Word of Faith Pentecostal church, it is very cordial. There's no hostility from what I understand, at least now.
Yeah.
Tell us something more about how you discovered the doctrines of grace while in such an environment.
Yeah, so I was 16 at the time and was very much immersed in that world. That's all the Christianity I'd known. My dad has been my pastor since I was 8 years old, and he was my dad before that, so that's all the Christianity I knew. And it was as a teenager that for the first time I was confronted with some of the stuff that was being taught that I knew. I'd heard it. I couldn't deny that these were things that were being said. But beyond being confronted with what was being said was being confronted with, well, what does God's word have to say about these issues? And that began a period of asking questions. I think I really got to a point where I didn't know what I believed anymore. I was like, okay, I can't argue with what I'm hearing in terms of a biblical response to all the teaching that I've heard. I think it's kind of funny, we're in Atlanta, one of my favorite preachers to listen to was Creflo Dollar. And so I'm like, yeah, I've heard him say this stuff, and I can't argue with the biblical responses to it, but this is where I go to church. Like, my dad is a Word of Faith pastor, essentially. And so I grappled with that for a while and didn't quite know what to do. And in God's providence, I became friends with a retired Presbyterian pastor who realized that I had questions and realized, here's this young man who needs so much spiritual help. And so entered into a discipleship relationship with him.
This sounds almost identical to the brother I interviewed from the Bar podcast. His name escapes me.
Dwayne Atkinson, good friend of mine. Yes.
Oh, he's a friend of yours.
Yes.
Well, he had very similar experience in Greenville, South Carolina.
Yep.
He was from a Pentecostal background, and he developed a friendship and a mentor relationship where he was the student and a Presbyterian pastor in Greenville was his mentor.
Yep. Yeah. So, yeah, I was, in this relationship with him. He was teaching me the scriptures. He was giving me good books to read. And I think what sort of drew me to him was the fact that anytime I would ask him a question on any issue, his first answer would be, okay, well, let's see what the scripture has to say about that. And he was just adept with the scriptures in a way that I had never seen before, and it just blew my mind. And I was like, okay, I want to learn from this man. And in a very real sense, he poured of not just his theological knowledge, but, his years in the ministry, his years of experience. He was 89 years old when I met him. So he'd been walking with the Lord for years, and he really poured of himself into me in a way that I'm still incredibly grateful for till today.
Praise God for that. And why don't you give our listeners a summary of your experiences here at G3 this year?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been telling everybody when they ask me how am I enjoying the conference, like, just like a big family reunion now. this is my third year here, and, there's certain people who I met the first time I was here, and now they see me like, oh, how's it going? Last year when I saw you, you were about to get married. How's that been? How's the move to the U.S. been? And that's great. Made some good ministry contacts here as well. Met a brother at one of the booths who is from a town which is like 10 minutes from where I live in Southern Oregon. Just would not have met in Southern Oregon, but we've met here in Atlanta of all places. So that's a great blessing. And, on top of that, all the great teaching that we've received this weekend has been such a blessing. Being able to fellowship with old friends, make new friends, I love the expression that Josh and the team here use so often for the musical times, that we are singing the gospel. You know, that's been such a blessing. So yeah, it's just been such a great conference.
Well, Brother Kofi, I look forward to continue to receive questions for our guests on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. It's always a great privilege and pleasure and joy to fellowship with you and to have conversations with you. And I look forward to seeing you again very soon, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me on. It's always a joy to be with you, Chris.
Please, as you did in the UK, now please spread the word about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in Medford, Oregon.
Most definitely.
God bless you.
God bless.
Well, we'll be airing more G3 conference interviews in broadcasts to come, but I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.